Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I thank God for the opportunity to be with you today. Also want to thank Pastor James for allowing me to stand here. I know this is his pulpit. And I'm happy to see all of you. I'm always excited when I'm told to come and share, you know, a worship service with you. And I also want to thank you for allowing us to use this sanctuary for our Swahili service. Every Sunday. Sorry, there are times we mess up the place. Every time we mess up, not every time, I'm sure there are times we mess up the place and Brother Jim just chooses to ignore, but there are moments when he throws an email that tells me this. And I'm always happy when I get an email so that we can correct a few things. The evening church is doing well. We praise the Lord for that. Last Sunday we were a good number because we had a barbecue here. We had some roast meat and we had some visitors coming, and we hope to see them continue to visit with us and even choose to make this their home church. I want us to turn to the book of James, chapter 1. And I'll request we be upstanding, those ones who are able to stand. It's not like if you don't stand, you're going to be struck by lightning. James chapter 1, those ones who are able to, you don't have to stand, ma'am, you don't have to, you don't have to stand. We're going to read verse 17 and 18, verse 17 and 18. I will read James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. The Word of God says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this blessed Lord's Day. We want to thank you for the opportunity even to open and read your sacred word. Lord, how we pray that you're going to speak to us from this word. How we pray that you're going to encourage us. You're going to speak to every sphere of our lives. Lord, I reduce that you alone may increase. Pray that you may anoint me afresh and use me for your own glory. Father, your word says that if we regard sin in our hearts, thou shalt not hear from us. I want to come before you and confess that we are sinners by nature and even by choice. Lord, your word says that if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us, O Lord, because we appreciate that you are a holy God, that we may be acceptable before you this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this world, there are some very good people, some very, very good and very generous people, and I'm sure you've met some of them. Growing up in Africa, I know a son of Washington who has done so much, you know, just to change lives of people in Africa. And that's none other than Bill Gates. So much, a lot of negativity has been thrown his way. But personally, I choose to go by what I know. But the lives that I know that he has changed, by places that I've visited, and I know that he has changed, by slums that I know that had no water, nothing, you know, places filthy that nobody would ever want to visit. But he has changed these people's lives. Places that, you know, that for some of us here might never understand, where people live without bathrooms. I don't know whether you know where people live without bathrooms. Where they are, let me use a better English word. Bathroom sounds like just, for me, it doesn't make that sense. Where there are no toilets. Where people live in houses and absolutely there are no toilets. Where they even would call them, you don't know what is called, a flying toilet. A flying toilet is a place where people use plastic bags. You know, those ones you get in Walmart. You'd use that, and all you do is out of your window, you do what? You throw it, the other neighbor throws, and the other one throws, and the other one. So you can imagine how the place looks like. And then one son of the state of Washington decides, I'm going to change this. I'm going to help these people. I'm going to build toilets. I'm going to get in some water for them to, you know, hygiene and, you know, all the diseases, waterborne diseases and all that. And it changes people's lives. But then you'll find so many other stories on the online. People fabricate these, people say that. But I know that he's indeed a philanthropist. I've read about his ex-wife and all that she's been doing, just giving money. Giving what? Money. I wish I had that job. I wish my biggest problem on earth was to set up a committee of people, experts, who will know how to do what? To give out my money. Do you want that problem? People have problems. Different problems. So, there are many. And a majority of them in the entire world, they're Americans, isn't it? And we know what America has done to change the world, the generosity of this great nation. And we thank God for the United States of America. I want to say that out of all the philanthropists that I know, there is also one great philanthropist. I want to say there is this one who, according to me and you, he's the greatest philanthropist. Amen. He is the greatest philanthropist. And this is none other than God himself. Amen. Amen. God has given us great things. He has done so much for us. As much as we might heap all the praises on what human beings have done, there is one philanthropist, and he's the greatest philanthropist, and he's the one that James is talking about here. Because God has given us the greatest gifts that you can ever receive. The best and the greatest. Yesterday I was having a problem because it was our wedding anniversary. And I remembered in the evening. My wife was at work and then I remembered. And then I was like, now what do I do? God is good. Amen. But I'm also blessed with a wife who also forgets it's her anniversary. Amen. So I didn't have any problems. So when she came from work, and then I pulled a surprise on her, I gave her a hug, I gave her a kiss, and I told her, happy anniversary. She was, oh my goodness. Oh, it's this day. Oh my goodness. The whole week, I've just been on it, and I've just been saying, I don't want to forget. I want to pull a surprise on him. She wanted to pull a surprise on me. So Thank God for also a wife who forgets. Amen. I want you to know that God has been good to you. I want you to know that God loves you, and he loves you dearly. I want you to know that God has a wonderful plan for your life. So let's look at what James has to say. Number one, he tells us, he talks about the Father of lights. He talks about the Father of lights. When God is called the Father of lights, it speaks about his identity. You know, he identifies God as the Creator, the Father of lights. Because, you know, the ancient pagans used to worship, the sun. They used to worship the moon. They used to worship, you know, the stars. They worshiped all these so-called lights. But James here is telling us that God himself is the creator of the moon. He is the creator of the stars. He is the creator of the sun. They worship this, but God himself is the creator. That he's saying that these lights, they are not gods, but they were made by our God. They were made by our Father. And God did not just give us the lights. You know, he's the Father of lights. He did not just give us the lights. When God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world, he gave man the greatest gift. Because heaven's light was sent into this dark world to illuminate this dark world. Amen. God sent the light of heaven. He sent his only begotten Son to come into this world, a world that is dark, that was dark. Darkness that was out of wickedness. God sent his Son. John says in John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Amen. But will have the light of life. The first gift from the greatest philanthropist is his own Son to us. The gift of his Son. Amen. Do you have him? Do you have this light in your life? Do you have Jesus? And if you have him, if you have this gift, the only thing you can do is to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, Apostle Paul, writing to Colossians, chapter 1, verse 12 to 14 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been transformed from the world of darkness into the world of his dear Son, the light of his dear Son. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Amen. Amen. For his inexpressible gift. Do you know him? If you do, then I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So he calls him the Father of lights. That's the one gift that we get from him. The second gift is the gift of salvation. Amen. He says, of his own will, begat us with the word of truth. Amen. Verse 18. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth. The ESV says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, begat, brought us. He's talking about the new birth. He's talking about the new birth. He's talking about that moment when a lost sinner humbles himself before a holy God and puts his complete trust on what Christ accomplished at the cross of Calvary. It's talking about that event when Jesus was talking about Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you that you must be born again." In verse 7, he tells him, "Marvel not that I say you must be born again." The Bible says that this new birth comes from the word of truth. Where does this new birth come from? You know, begat is this new birth. Where does this new birth come from? It comes from the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The word of truth is the gospel. You know what the Bible tells us, you know, what the gospel is? That the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and then to the Greek. Also to the Greek. Doesn't Romans say that? And then to the Greek. The message of the gospel, clear definition by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 3, 4. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." How that, this is the gospel. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Not according to anything else. Amen. Amen. According to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is what the gospel is. Amen. Amen. That is what the gospel is. The gospel has nothing to do with our church attendance. We are Baptist, but the gospel is nothing to do with baptism. We don't get this new birth by baptism. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. It does not mean if we pay our tithes, we give a fat offering to church, that does not make us, you know, new in Christ. Amen. It does not give us that relationship with him. The gospel is clear. It is when we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. And when we believe that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, that is what happens. The gospel is not what I want to do, it is what has already been done. Amen. Amen. What has already been done, that is what the gospel is. Because we know that the plan of salvation is a precious truth, and it's also a powerful blessing. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross, for us who know what it is, for us who know salvation, what it is to know Christ, to have Christ as Lord and Savior, the world will not understand us." And he says, "For the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It is that gift of God. So, it's the gift of the Son, it's the gift of salvation, and also it is the gift of his supply. Amen. Thirdly, is the gift of his supply. He says this, "Cometh down," doesn't he say that? "Cometh down from," in verse 17, "every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father." It cometh down from who? It comes down from the Father. God is called who? Our Father. What does this mean? When God is our Father, when it comes from him, that God is the one who generates. He's the generator, isn't it? that God is a generator. Some people call him our male ancestor. That God, the Father, is our male ancestor. But what Paul is trying, I mean, James here, the idea James is trying to get across is this, that our Father is the one, the person who stands in a father's place and looks after another in a paternal way. As our God, God has our needs on his heart. God has our needs where? On his heart. If we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that brings us into a very special relationship with God the Father. When you get saved, you are adopted into the family of God. Amen. We get adopted into the family of God. God now claims you as his own daughter, as his own son. And when he claims you as his own daughter, as his own son, then therefore, God assumes responsibility over you. Does that make sense? That God is responsible for Philip. He's responsible for every need in my life. That's his responsibility. That's why he's my father. We have fathers in the house. Do you have fathers here? Are you responsible for your children? Yes. That is what fatherhood means. That our kids look up to us, that we shall meet their needs. My kids know that I can meet all of their needs. Amen. All of their needs. And when the father says, I will do it, it means he will do it. Those are the human fathers. If the human fathers know how to give good gifts to you, how much more our Heavenly Father? How much more can our Heavenly Father take care of our needs? Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. When we get saved, we get the spirit of adoption. We are adopted into this very special family of God. And that's the reason why Jesus, you know, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, when he was teaching them, and he taught them in Matthew 6, he told them, pray like this. When you pray, you say what? Our Father who art in heaven. He's telling them that your Father, my Father, is your Father. You 12, my Father is also your Father. When I'm praying to him, the same way I pray to him, you can pray to him because he is your Father. You know, adoption is very different. When people adopt kids, you visit them, they start telling you, oh, this is my biological child. But this one, we adopted from Korea, from Africa, from this place, from that place. They like talking about this one we adopted, isn't it? You know, the word adoption means to place as, isn't it? To place as a son, to place as a daughter. In the Roman law, they called it patria potestas. The father's power. The father had power over his children until they die, in the Roman law. He had power to decide where they're going to work. He had power even to enslave his own children. He had power to sell his children. He had power to do whatever he wished. He could even pronounce death penalty on his children, according to the Roman law. It did not matter how old the child was. The father held all the power over his children. But don't you know we lose it very quickly in this country? Even when the Bible says that Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, isn't it? But this generation, what do? We've changed that verse to parents obey your children in the Lord, isn't it? These ones who are the had all the power in the Romans. Adoption for them was a very serious matter. Although it was a very common practice, it was very serious. When a child was adopted, these three things happened. Number one, that adoption was permanent. It was permanent. I know a friend of mine who adopted three girls and one boy, and later told me, I don't want to see that boy. He's no longer mine, because he was not performing well at school. He had so many issues, criminal or whatever. Said, no. Let me tell you, when a child is adopted, he is adopted forever. Eternally, he was that father's child. Secondly, this child had every right or had all the rights of a legitimate son in the new family. Every right the legitimate son had, even this one that was adopted, they had equal rights. No difference between the one adopted and the other one that was born there. And this child, thirdly, lost all rights in his old family. All rights. In the African tradition, where I come from, when we get married, we pay dowry. Yes, I paid for my wife. In fact, I have not finished. And so I have certain installments to pay. And we enjoy doing it, for your information. I'm looking forward to paying. And she enjoys it when I do it. We do it in great joy. That's our culture. I know it means totally different things here. If you married a lady who has children, you pay dowry and you pay even for these children. And when you pay for these children, their names are changed and they take you up your name. And they lose everything from whoever their biological father. They become yours forever. They become yours forever. That's how we do it. This is what the Romans also did. You don't talk about, this is my child, this one was adopted. I want to tell you that that's what the adoption means to us as Christians. When he adopted us as his own children, we are permanently his. We are forever his. We are eternally his. That's who God your Father is to you. Finally, I want to say this. Every good gift and every perfect gift, he tells us, every good gift, the gift of his satisfaction, there is satisfaction that we get, not only the supplies that he has for us, but also the satisfaction. He is calling these gifts, they are good, meaning desirable. They are perfect, meaning complete gifts. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life. God knows what you're going through. And if even in that situation, under those circumstances, he still loves you and gives you what you desire. Well, I mean, what you deserve. He gives you what he believes is the best, or what he knows is the best for you. Do not allow Satan to lie to you that when you're going through certain things, that God has forgotten me. He is your father. And he gives you every good and perfect gift. Amen. Amen. Have you ever given your wife a good gift? Most likely, yes. Have you ever given her a perfect gift? That is debatable, isn't it? That is debatable. But God does not only give us good, he gives us what? Completely perfect gift is what we receive from God. And that's why I can welcome you, church, today and say, oh, test and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. When you trust in God, when you give your life to God, it means so much. Are there benefits for us as Christians? Yes, immense benefits. God has given us many gifts. He has given us the Bible. He has given us his Son. He has given us a church. Wonderful brethren to be with. He has given us hope for eternity. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us joy. Brethren, let's live for him. May we be upstanding. May we be upstanding. We pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you are the greatest philanthropist. You know us and you know our needs and you meet our needs. Lord God, your word tells us that you give us even beyond what we think of because you know everything in our lives. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for all the ministry you are doing in our lives. May your name be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.